This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
It had been successive clean sheets and successive wins for the Hatters. In fact, it had been 3 wins in 5 going into the weekend's game after 7 defeats in the previous 8. But a dodgy offside call and Alal Taylor bang back in form saw Charlton record a 3rd win in 5 after just 1 in 17 before that. Next up, it is Brentford for the Hatters in a massive game at Kenilworth Road. Brentford on a pretty decent run of form in the Championship as they continue their promotion push. Conversely, Luton continuing their fight to get out of this bottom three, back on the bottom of the table after a big win for Barnsley at the weekend. It is the Luton Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by James Cunliffe of the Lutonian. Hello, James.
Hello, Matt. You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you. Great having you on the show, as always, James. And good to be back as well. I've missed the past few weeks, so good to be back talking all things Luton Town. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty of Saturday. A sense of injustice, really.
Well, yeah. Certainly after the replays were shown, they basically showed that James Collins scored a legitimate goal and it was chalked off for offside. So, yeah, it was 1-1 at that stage and Luton got back into the game very quickly after Lyle Taylor had put Charlton ahead and they were in the ascendancy, really. Who knows where that goal could have taken them, but it was wrongly chalked off. And then James Collins probably had his, I'd say his worst afternoon in a Luton shirt, but it's hard to really say that for a player that is such an engine and runs about and does so much of the dirty work. But yeah, he handled the ball. It was a pretty obvious handball. And, from the moment that Taylor stroked that in, one of the most frustrating run-ups, by the way, because he doesn't even run up. He just walks up. He just pokes that in and then...
Well, do you know what, actually, on that? This is it's something that I think personally needs to be addressed. I do a lot of work with goalkeepers and it's a massive gripe of theirs. We've just done the QPR fan show and I remember a penalty from Ebiezie earlier on in the season against Derby, and he does another very, very slow run up and then right at the end he does the classic stutter, but because he just manages to keep his back foot moving ever so slightly, it still counts that he's in full flow, because the rule is as long as you don't stop then you're allowed to take a penalty. And I know that we always want to give an advantage to the attacker, but with a penalty, really, it should be 50-50. Keepers have to remain rooted to their line, at least 1 foot on the line. You see the referees constantly reminding them, look, you must not come off the line. But for someone like Lyle Taylor, and listen, hats off to him, it is an incredible technique. It shows incredible nerve to score a penalty like that. But surely it gives him a massive advantage to just stroll up to the ball like that.
Well, yeah, and these rules as well, it's so heavily weighted in favour of the striker, because the goalie has to be so rooted to his line. And, the striker should be scoring the goal most of the time, because it's a big old goal. And if you hit it in the corner, the goalkeepers aren't getting it. But, it's not really giving the goalkeeper a chance. I mean, by the by, in the fact that Lyle Taylor sent slightly the wrong way. So, I don't know. I guess he's one of those players like Danny Hilton for Luton. You want him on your team, but you don't like him when he's against you. So, after that, it was Luton still played very well. They pushed and tried, but Charlton got a goal at the end and that killed the thing, really. So, yeah, it was very frustrating because he didn't deserve to be beaten. I think a point in the very least they deserved.
Yeah, George Lapsley killing the game off his first ever league goal as a goal. But we don't really care about that at all. What we do care about, one, actually, I've got to touch on the James Collins. I know you mentioned it there. It was a clear handball. What on earth was he doing? And listen, we don't want to dig players out, but what was he doing?
I've no idea. I've seen the replay back and it's just a very unnatural thing. He's almost punched the ball, isn't he? Give it a good old jab. But it is hard to criticise him, because he's not only is he Townes' top goal scorer, he runs so many miles. He chases wingers down to the goal line. He heads balls away in his own box, and he does so much extra work that used to go unnoticed, really, even by Luton fans. Now and they recognise him for what he is, but it was not a good day really for him on the big decision front, or the big pivotal moment front.
Yeah, a big pivotal moment, and I think we now have Matt Storey joining us as well. Hello, Matt.
Good evening, Matt.
Great to have you on the line, mate. Big Luton Town fan as you are. We're just reflecting on the game at the weekend, of course, against Charlton. And I want to get into this offside call, because I know that Graeme Jones has spoken out about this. It was Andre Mariner, of course, Premier League referee. He said that he's known them for years. He's known the linesman, the referee's assistant, I should say, to give it the proper term, for a long time. And he said they've got a huge decision wrong. He has not campaigned, but he said in the post-match interview that he would be pro VAR in the Championship, because you want to get the right answer. It was completely unfair. There is a sense of injustice there. Would you go as far as Graeme Jones there to say that you want VAR in the Football League? Because I don't agree with him.
No, I really don't want VAR in the Football League. I really don't like VAR. I was never an advocate for it. It's not improved the watching experience, and certainly I've only had two experiences of being a fan and VAR in the ground, and that was at Bournemouth in the Cup when they had a goal disallowed for VAR, and even that wasn't enjoyable because it took 3 minutes. And if you remember when Jesse Lingard's goal was disallowed in Jimenez last year in the Nations League, I was in the England end, who had no idea what was going on, and we found out his toenail was offside. So no, I'm not a fan of VAR in the Championship. I'd rather they got rid of it completely. And I also think it's a poor decision. It's not a howler, because he's not so far onside that you just don't understand how he's given it. And Graeme Jones has gone, oh, it's little old Luton, it's not happened for us. And fundamentally, we equalised against Charlton in November, and that should have been disallowed for offside. So of all the teams that it could have happened against, for it to happen against Charlton, they're probably the one side that you can't say it's little old Luton, and you can't say we're getting decisions against us. So no, I'm not pro VAR in the slightest. And I realise that's very much a 50-50 split in the game, isn't it? That's not just because I'm a Luton fan, just because I'm a Football League fan. I think at every level, 50% of people want it, 50% of people don't. And Jones has moaned in his press conference, as he will, as managers will. But I'm not convinced it's a case of a decision going against little old Luton, because, as I said, we've already had a big decision go our way against the same opponents earlier this season.
Yeah, he said we all feel a bit scabby, didn't he? I thought that was quite an interesting quote as well after the game. And he did reference little old Luton as well, which he's been nothing if not colourful, I think, over the course of the season, Graeme Jones. He came back, didn't he, after those two 1-0 wins as well, and said there was nothing more satisfying than getting that two clean sheets and winning a game by the odd goal. James, I want to quickly touch on the team, because we thought that Izzy Brown would be there. We thought that Luai would be there, and Sonny Bradley too. Neither of those were in the squad. Is there any more news that's come out as to why they weren't in the squad and whether they're going to be fit for tomorrow?
Izzy Brown had a virus, so he was in he's bedridden. I think it went around his household, so he got his family. Luai and Bradley both got knocks the day before, or 2 days before the game, so were out. I think it's touch and go on all of them, really. We didn't have the usual Monday press conference today, so we didn't get any further updates from after the game. But yeah, it was a big blow when people saw that team sheet, myself included. You just felt a bit deflated, because it was a massive game that you felt Luton had to win, and without both of those, and disrespect to Sonny Bradley, I think him not being inside, they could cope with Cameron Vickers in his place, but when you don't have the creative talents of Izzy Brown and Luai to call on, it was it's always going to be a tough afternoon. But saying that, Luton did play really well, created a couple of chances. It's just I felt Charlton was sort of there for the taking, and perhaps if those two players had been on the pitch, they might have been.
Yeah, and it is frustrating, isn't it? Because you look at those two wins on the bounce. Getting a win at Charlton would have really continued that momentum. Results kind of going yes and no around you. Middlesbrough and Huddersfield very much in free fall. So it's keeping that relegation fight alive, Matt. But I just want to quickly touch on the form in London as well. We don't technically have to read anything into this, but lost now, I think, haven't beaten Charlton on their own patch in 11. But in terms of actually being in London, have lost the last six now, conceding three or more goals in each. It's a real hoodoo.
Yeah, well, it's been this season, hasn't it? The trips to London haven't been enjoyable on a football point of view. You can't read too much into it. Some of them are good sides. We played Fulham, who are a good side. Brentford, who, I mean, that was a horror day. When we played QPR in September, that was when QPR were kind of at their free-flowing attacking best and put three past us early. So it is what it is. I'm pleased that we don't have to go back to London again this season, for that matter. But I'm not sure it's a hoodoo. And anyway, if it is a hoodoo, there's quite a possibility there won't be any London teams in League One next year, and we're still favourites to go down. So we can put that one to bed.
Absolutely. And James, just in terms of those results as well, it was a tricky weekend, really. As I said, Barnsley getting a win against Middlesbrough, a real 6-pointer that one. Wigan with a somewhat surprise win, I suppose, against Millwall, an own goal for them on that occasion. Huddersfield losing at Swansea as well. Stoke with a win. But it still keeps things tight down there, doesn't it?
It does. I guess before the game, Charlton were the team Luton wanted to catch, and it was a big opportunity miss that they didn't. But the fact that Huddersfield has slipped down there now, you're looking at those guys. And of course, Stoke, purely because Luton have got Stoke at the weekend, it now is another colossal 6-pointer that they really can't pass up that chance. So, it keeps some of the teams in and around them. But it isn't nice to see your relegation rivals winning when you've waited nothing from Charlton.
No, absolutely. And as you said there, two massive games coming up. The bigger one coming up on Saturday, of course, hosting Stoke City. But before that, it is a very small game against Brentford. They haven't been to Kenilworth Road since November 2008. They did beat the Hatters, though, however, earlier on this season by quite a large margin. So definitely looking to avenge that one.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Luton Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Matt Story, freelance sports journal and big Luton Town fan. James Cunliffe on the line too from thelutonian.com. Gents, it is Brentford up next. Now, I'm going to say they're unbeaten in five. That's fine. But they've actually drawn their last three. So, Matt, in terms of form, I suppose you could say Luton maybe have a slight upper hand here. Is that a positive that we can cling on to?
No, I don't see why not. Absolutely. They were 2-0 down, weren't they, on Saturday?
They were indeed.
At half times. I went and watched them against Leeds a couple of weeks ago, and they were, I'll be honest, they were lucky to get a point from that game because Leeds were the better side. So, yeah, positives we can take. Just forget what happened in the first game. It's first and foremost, because that was, a pretty harrowing afternoon and not one that any Luton fan will look back on fondly. But no, it is. It's Tuesday night. It's Kenilworth Road under the lights, and our record there under the lights in the last couple of seasons has been very good. But this season especially, and given the struggles we've had, we've not struggled on a Tuesday night at Kenilworth Road. So we have to make it difficult for them. We have to believe that we can get a result. And often, I think a lot of Luton fans were saying tomorrow, well, Southampton lost 9-0 at home to Leicester, but they ended up winning at Leicester, did they not? 2-1. Mm-hmm. So these are the sort of results you get. For all the games we have left this season, Brentford and one of the teams we've got the big most to prove against, because we didn't turn up and we surrendered to them, and it was embarrassing. And I suspect every single person at Luton Town Football Club was embarrassed that afternoon. So these are all things you can look to and hope that we can get a result. But also, realistically, if this time tomorrow I was on the train home and we'd got a draw, I'd be fairly happy with that, because it would be, to a certain extent, a bonus point. It's not one that I necessarily would look at and expect to get anything from, especially having seen Brentford earlier this season when they played us.
I have to say as well, Matt, I was at that game against Leeds earlier on, earlier on this month, that Tuesday night game. And I thought it was going to be one of the better games that I've seen this season. Was actually really looking forward to it. A final visit to Griffin Park, I thought they'd put on a real show against Leeds. But whether it was the fact that Leeds and Marcelo Bielsa's very specific system completely nullified what Brentford were able to do, I thought they were actually quite poor on that day. And listen, they're a very good side. We do the Brentford fan show on this station, and speaking to the guys from Besotted is always good because they have such a passion for their club, and they speak so highly of the way that Brentford play. And I think they do play very well, and they were very good to come back in that game at the weekend against Blackburn. But if you do set a stall out, which Graham Jones has been able to do on occasions this season, there is a chance that you could potentially cause an upset in this one.
Yeah, I think they certainly when I against Leeds, I felt that they just lacked a really solid holder midfielder against the creative side. And Calvin Phillips is a good player for Leeds, so he was running the show for them. But just him kind of in between the midfield and the fence is an area you can exploit, which is where someone like Izzy Brown could be so, so important if he's fit. Luton's chances tomorrow will depend on the fitness of Izzy Brown, the fitness of Kazengulu Alawar, because we're going to need them if we're going to win. And added to that is the fact that Harry Cornick was brilliant on Saturday, took his goal really well. But the reason he was subbed, I imagine, is because he was only recovering from a slight hamstring strain. So can he play twice in 4 days? We don't know. Look, you sit here and say we can get a result. They're a team that haven't won in three. There's a lot of pressure on them as well. And they want to crown their final season at Griffin Park with a result. But I don't think you know how Luton will do until that team comes out and until the likes of Lualuar and Izzy Brown either are or aren't on that team sheet.
So, James, I'll come to you on this one. Matt is obviously extremely positive. Well, not extremely, but he is quite positive about the game, and that is fair enough. What's your view on this one? Brentford, a very decent team, like I said, haven't visited Kenilworth Road since 2008, so a long time. The fans are looking forward to it. I know for one thing for sure, the atmosphere inside Kenilworth Road is going to be absolutely pumping, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's got to be because, Luton probably need to win half of their games now, and there's a good amount of home games for them to do that. A couple of weeks ago I would have said this Brentford game is a shot to nothing, really, that I wasn't expecting to get anything out of it, and now I think you've almost got to look to it and think you can, if that's at all possible after an absolute 7-0 drubbing, which is one of the worst games I've ever covered. But I think that the difference for me between what might be tomorrow compared to what was at Griffin Park was that Luton have now got Glenn Ray in the centre of midfield, and they've been so much more solid and so much more combative in that area of the pitch, where it just wasn't happening before. And even the fullbacks, to give them credit, the fullbacks, Dan Potts in particular, got roasted at Griffin Park, and it was cross after cross or them standing off players and letting them run at them, and that's where all the danger was coming. And they've done a lot better in recent weeks. So, if you're going to look to things, then you've got to look at things like that as to how they can stop Brentford. It's same as Matt says there, in an attacking sense, you've really got hope that Izzy Brown and Lualuar are back on the pitch. And if not, maybe you can get 60 minutes of a tune out of Callum McManaman, because, when he has had a run in the side, he's looked pretty dangerous, particularly his crossing. You'd like to think that James Collins could feed off that. It's just that he's been so injury-prone that he hasn't been able to get in. So he did come on as a sub at the weekend, so that's another possible option should Brown or Lualuar not make it.
And in terms of the fixtures as well this week, Matt, if you look at the fact that a win for Luton, we're talking 3 points adrift of safety. Huddersfield host Bristol City. Bristol City not on the best run in their past couple of games, but very much up there looking for that playoff spot, of course. You look at Wigan going away to Reading. Yes, Reading, I think, have won 1 in 8, so not on the best run at the moment. There is an opportunity here, isn't there? Middlesbrough hosting Leeds United, of course. You'd expect Leeds to get a result at the Riverside. So it could go Luton's way this weekend, and all of a sudden we're looking at one win from safety.
Yeah, I think what's important was this time last week we were looking at a batch of four games in Charlton away, Brentford at home, Stoke at home and Wigan away, and saying how big the three games were against the teams in around us and how you need to win a couple of them. So even if Luton aren't, don't get a positive result tonight and another couple of teams do, I really feel like Luton have to, we can't be negative about that, because the next two games are still so big and they're so winnable that if you pick up a result against Stoke on Saturday and then you're going to Wigan away on the back of a win with the gap closed again, you can be positive again. So it's one of those where, okay, if we lose tomorrow and lose on Saturday, maybe you reassess next week. But you have to judge this slate of fixtures, and I include Charlton in that, in 2 weeks' time, once you've played the teams in and around you, because that's when you're going to know. We might be still sat on 30 points at that stage and just accepting that the wins over Sheffield Wednesday and Middlesbrough were nice but ultimately not mean anything. Or if we can back them up, we will be in a relegation fight. It would be nice to get a draw tomorrow just to kind of keep what is still a fairly positive feeling going. But even if we lose, because of the next two games, there can't be any negativity. There has to be sleeves rolled up, because 6 points from the next possible six after that would just be huge and would just set up the final, what is it, be 10, 9 games of the season then.
Yeah, Gary Brabin, didn't he, said that negativity is not what this team is all about. And I want to touch, James, just before we eventually end this show, on some quotes from Iñigo Idiáquez, of course, the first team coach, and the fact that he said, and I know that quotes tend to get pulled out of context, but he did say, as a team, I think we're one of the best teams in the league. I mean, what a quote to make.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the room with him at that point. I think what he meant was team ethics, team spirits, units. I would hope he meant that, actually, because the league table doesn't lie in every other aspect. I didn't take it at the time as him saying that they're one of the best teams in the league, full stop, footballing reasons. But it was an unusual statement. But it does show that there is confidence in the dressing room there, and the two wins that they did have against Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, you could see that after the game, they really felt that that the Great Escape was on. The fans did; they were singing the tune, whistling the tune. So there is something still there, and that's why I don't think there's the levels of despondency they were after, say, the seventh defeat in a row. I think it's a lot more positive now, and considering those two games that Matt's already said that are coming up after Brentford, then it is still all to play for.
It is indeed. 36 points, of course, left to play for. Gents, I'm going to push you both for a prediction now. James, I'll come to you first. Not really for Stoke, because it's a game ahead, but tomorrow's game with QPR.
I would like...
Brentford, sorry, not QPR.
Yes, yeah, I'd like a nice gritty draw again. I think I said that last time, but it really probably has proven Luton's downfall, particularly away. I know this is a home game, but if they could have eked out a few more draws, then the position in the table would be looking a lot healthier. I think just given the fact that it was 7-0 on such an awful day the last time, a draw would be lovely and would be celebrated, I think, like a win. So let's go for a high scoring.
Oh, love it. High scoring 3-0. We had one of those very early on in the season, didn't we? Matt, what are you saying?
I was going to go for 2-0, so not quite as high scoring, but score draw, I reckon.
A score draw. Matt Story, big Luton Town fan, freelance sports journalist. Thank you very much for joining us. Same to you, James Cunliffe of the Lutonian.com. It is Brentford next up for Luton, and then a big game at home to Stoke at the weekend. 36 points to play for the Hatters, currently 6 points adrift of safety. We could be looking at it, by the time we next do the Luton Town fan show, they'll be level on points with Huddersfield Town. We'll give you all the reaction next week.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.